It might surprise you to know that in the 2002 election cycle, the political action committee that spent the most money didn't represent gun owners or Teamsters or trial lawyers. It was Emily's List, the PAC that supports abortion rights and Democratic women candidates. Reporter Austin Jenkins in Seattle looked into how they've become so successful.
Have got to develop your army of supporters.
In a downtown Seattle hotel, Ann Liston of Emily's List delivers a PowerPoint presentation on how to reach voters the old-fashioned way, in person.
You're sending folks out, going door to door.
Her audience at this campaign workshop, some 35 women and two men who want to run for political office or work on a woman's political campaign. It's a crash course on the fundamentals, such as writing a campaign plan, developing a message, dealing with the media, and, says Liston, raising money.
Money really does matter in politics. You got to raise a lot of it because you got to communicate to the voters, and communicating to voters is very expensive. And so if you want to be competitive, right, you have to really raise that money, and you have to spend a lot of time doing it. And our message is to start early.
This is the mantra at Emily's List. In fact, Emily is not a person, but an acronym. It stands for an essential truth in politics. Early money is like yeast. It makes the dough rise. In other words, a candidate who gets a head start on fundraising elevates her credibility and chances of winning. Since its founding in 1985, the group takes credit for helping elect 7 women to governorships and 66 women to Congress. Among them, Senator Hillary Clinton of New York and California Senator Dianne Feinstein. In the 2002 election cycle, Emily's List spent nearly $23 million, according to the Center for Responsive Politics, more than any other political action committee.
It is a very, very, very big deal.
Sarah Brewer is Associate Director of the Women and Politics Institute at American University in Washington, D.C.
They've taken sort of women's issues and women's candidates and pushed them on the forefront, and the recognition that the level of success, measured by the amount of money they've been able to raise through small contributions of women from all over the country, I think is an enormous testament.
Emily's List helped perfect a form of political fundraising called bundling. Members write checks to individual candidates. Emily's List then collects those checks, bundles them, and forwards them to the campaign. This is legal under federal law, but in January, the Washington State Republican Party filed a complaint alleging Emily's List sent bundled contributions to a Democratic candidate for governor in violation of state law. Emily's List responds that it adapts its fundraising process to comply with each state's campaign finance laws and did so in this case. An investigation is underway. But Washington State's Republican Party chair, Chris Vance, thinks Emily's List doesn't get the scrutiny it deserves.
Let's say an organization of gun owners gathered up hundreds of thousands of dollars in checks and bundled them together and delivered them to the Republican candidate for governor. I think people would scream bloody murder. But some reason, because it's a liberal group of pro-choice women, that's a grassroots organization. No, they are a special interest group.
Emily's List isn't the only women's PAC. There's the Wish List, Women in the Senate and House, which supports pro-abortion rights Republican women. It spent nearly $2 million in the last election cycle, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. The Susan B. Anthony List, which helps elect women who oppose abortion rights, spent $350,000 in 2002 and helped elect Senator Elizabeth Dole of North Carolina. This year, though, like the last election cycle, Emily's List is proving to be the biggest spender. It spent $16 million so far. For NPR News, I'm Austin Jenkins in Seattle.